We're recording again.
You're going to lose my priceless narration.
Yeah, we're going to just...
Wow.
Well, that's why... And if you want, I can send you a CD of this.
I would love it. I was going to ask you, how do I get a copy of this?
So, yeah. We can send you a copy of it, or a CD or a DVD. I got to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a higher resolution recording, but we'll send you a copy.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So we were talking about Hong Kong after you saw the Dalai Lama.
Yes. The second time I stopped in Hong Kong, I'm at the Chung King Mansion.
It's no mansion, believe me.
Nice Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
Became friends of ours. I was reading the bulletin board and somebody came alongside me, a young lady, and she said, "Hi, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to Kathmandu." "Oh, yeah. Have you ever been to Bangkok?" I said, "No." "Oh, you should stop over in Bangkok. I think you'd like it. Here's a number. When you get to Bangkok, just call. See how it works?"
Right.
All these people.
Just this network of travelers.
If you ever get to Bali, go to Joe's place. Here's the number.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there. And they don't know. They just met.
Yeah. I got the number from what's his name in Kowloon. Yeah.
Yeah, just fabulous. And here I am, gray haired.
Not a backpacker. He ain't backpacking.
And they're all... She did invite me to meet her friends at someplace else. It's called someplace else. At a hotel, you know, because they had margarita freebies. Get one free. And the table was six of us around a table this big, you know. And the margaritas were this big, and it was all white. Shredded ice.
Ice, yeah.
Fabulous. And I'm talking to these kids like I'm a kid.
Right.
Fabulous.
So you went to Bangkok?
So on the way back, well, that third year, I'll stop in Bangkok. Call up this number, or give it to the tuk-tuk driver.
Right.
And he takes me to this address. And I gave it to the Thai lady. She says, "Sorry, but I have no room." "Well, is there any other place here?" No, there's no other place here. Her husband is a Caucasian.
Uh-huh.
And he's working someplace, or military or something. And she's running the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
"Wait a minute," she says. She walks away. She comes back with two young girls. Each of them grabs one of my traveling bags. "Follow them," she says. Okay, I follow them. We go down the street through a market, up through a store-like place, up the stairs in the back, open the door, take my bags in there, and there is a big room with a bed. I learn it's her father's.
Oh, his flat.
Place, and he's traveling someplace.
Uh-huh.
And I can stay there meanwhile. Wow. Look out the window to the tops of the canvas umbrellas covering all the shops,
there,
you know. Yeah. It's a big, big shopping area. All kinds of meats hanging and fish, and the canal is smelly. And across the canal is an avenue, and there's stores there. Well, I like to go to the stores and see what, you know, what these people are buying.
Right. Yeah.
Or what's for sale.
Yeah, what's going on.
And then I'm walking past stores and they're selling shoes just like us.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
it's a big city.
And
clothes.
Clothes mm-hmm. and whatever. No different. Mm-hmm. Well, previous to that, when you think of Thailand, wow, they must be wearing those baggy pants and...
Oh, right.
So, yeah, you didn't know. What do you know about Bangkok, except for people who'd been in Vietnam to see the city? You know, and even then, who knows what it was like in the 60s.
I'm walking past one store. It's a soup kitchen or soup restaurant. And just on the other side of the room is a watch store and watch repair store. And there's a young Thai woman standing behind the display case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I happen to glance up, and she's looking at me, and we make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I nod my head. Another occasion where I nod my head, and I smile. And she smiles. Well, I kept walking. Look at my watch, and it's got water in the crystal.
Uh-huh.
From the humidity.
Hot. Ooh, Bangkok hot.
Wow. So I stopped. Well, here's a chance for me to get it cleaned up. You know,
right.
The Lord ruined my watch. So I walk back, take my watch off, and hand it to her, and point to the...
Point to the water.
Water. Mm-hmm. And she calls a gentleman over. He comes over, looks at the watch, and he walks back there, out of sight. And I'm waiting. Oh, can I help you? Oh, here's a young Thai woman dressed in waitress.
Uh-huh.
She's the daughter of the owner of the... I learn later.
Okay.
At the restaurant. And speaks very good English.
Mm-hmm.
So we start a three-way conversation. You know, he said, she said.
Right.
Oh, he said.
The translation.
Oh, yeah. Then he comes out with the watch, hands it to her, says something to her. She says something to him. She says something to me. He says, don't wear your watch in the shower. Oh, okay. And then something else is said, and where are you going, where are you from, and all this small talk
right.
goes on. Oh, where are you going? I'm going to Chiang Mai, and when you're coming back. Okay. He wants to know when you're coming back. Oh, I'm coming back Thursday or Friday, whatever, you know. Back. He says, when you come back, you stay at his house.
How can this be?
Just like that. You stay at his house. I don't know what kind of house it is or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm getting involved
right.
in the people.
Yeah.
I'm going to live like they, you know. What an opportunity, I thought. He says, here's my number. When you come back, call me. I'll go pick you up at the bus station.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go to my house. So I do that. Picks me up after a couple of days in Chiang Mai. Come back. Takes me to his house. And his house consists of a three-story cement block. Triplex,
uh-huh.
three stories high, and each
bunch of
plex is
buildings like that.
Rented by people.
Yeah.
You know, and he has 1/3 of it, and his wife has a big
noodle shop.
Ah, okay.
Big, she's stirring this big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Big chicken broth.
Delicious,
and
delicious.
Soup. The soup is so good.
And it's an alley.
Uh-huh.
It's not a street. It's an alley.
An alley.
Yeah, and The only traffic are three-wheel bicycles, and occasional car, because it's very narrow.
Uh-huh.
On the second floor and the third floor, this is a high 11-foot room.
High ceilings.
Yeah, ceiling place. And the second floor is pretty high up. Mm-hmm. I'm on the second floor. There's Jintana, the girl that smiled at me.
Right.
Her sister, their mother.
So it's a multi-generational household.
And the son and the daughter, all living there.
And the man who fixed the watch was the father.
Uh-huh.
And Noi was the woman with the soup.
Okay.
So her sister and her mother and another sister?
The daughter, yeah.
Chuan and Noi had three kids.
Okay. So. You stay at my house. Six people there, you stay at my house. They don't think about, I don't have a room for you.
They'll find a spot for you.
Oh, of course you take your shoes off.
If you say yes, that means you're going to be open to
something.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, what do you expect? You don't know much about this culture at all.
Chuan's English is very sparse.
Uh-huh.
And Jintana, hardly anything at all.
The sister-in-law.
And none of them, they're all Thai.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there.
Doesn't know anything.
Trying to get...
what are you doing?
Trying to get contact.
Right.
You know? What do you do?
Communicate.
But they find value in me.
Uh-huh.
They want English.
Okay. Yeah,
they want to learn.
So. And here they got...
Yeah.
They got a teacher.
Teacher, right.
Yeah, and they didn't know that part, but, you know, seems like a nice enough guy. Maybe we'll learn a little conversation.
Yeah, right. I didn't know that's how they valued me.
Right.
Okay. Weekend comes, and Chuan has a video camera, and Jintana has a still camera, and they are contracted or hired to take video of a wedding.
Okay.
And later on, I learned of funerals,
ordinations.
Okay.
People hire them to take pictures. And I go with him.
Uh-huh.
On a motorcycle. Jintana takes the taxi with a big camera.
Right.
And Chuan and I get on the motorbike and through all that terrible traffic.
Diesel
and I take my little video camera too, but he finds value in my presence with all these Thai people,
uh-huh.
This Caucasian. Mm-hmm. You know, they're impressed, it seems, with him having a Caucasian friend. It didn't matter to me. I don't know what he's thinking, using me or not.
So what? They're nice enough people, he's a nice enough guy. They're all going to get something out of this.
Yeah. So how much time did you spend
there? Oh, this goes on for a couple of weeks, you know. And I get to be a member of the family, see? And then time for me to renew my visa, so I have to fly out or take the train out to the Singapore or go back to Hong Kong and then come back.
Right.
But to me, this is all very new and adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not growing old. Meanwhile, while they're at the store, I'm walking around soaking in all this.
Just exploring.
Yeah. I was in this one store looking at the different durian fruits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Oh, I look and here's a woman. she starts talking to me, and I'm having a birthday party. Would you come?
Just like that?
Yeah. An Italian woman.
But she spoke English.
Yeah, she spoke English. That's what got me.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, where are you staying? And I told her, you know.
Here's my friends.
Yeah. She says, oh, let's go back to Kathmandu.
Are you going to back up a little bit?
Yeah. I'm sitting there because I want to ship out some carpets at the shipper's office. And I'm holding my video camera, and a guy says to me, oh, you take video? I said, yeah. You come and take a video of my wedding?
Uh-huh.
Oh, sure. I'll take a video of your wedding. A Nepalese wedding? Wow, I don't want to go into detail, Barbara. It was something. This wedding.
Yeah. Really interesting. We don't know what's going on, but it's really
interesting. Yeah, all the crying, all the throwing petals and berries and nuts and chanting and the dancing and pots and pans. Oh, just something. At any rate, that's how things are happening to me. All of a sudden.
Instead of saying no, he says yes.
Yeah, I'm going to send a car, pick you up.
Yeah, for that wedding, yeah.
This woman says.
Oh, this one. Oh, okay, for the birthday party.
Yeah, her birthday party.
So what did you tell Chuan and Jin?
That somebody's coming and I'm going to visit someone, you know.
You have an invitation and you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
God knows what could happen. Well, white slavery, we don't know what could happen.
Oh, later on I learned she's a wealthy woman. She's got friends and property.
Jeez.
And she says, why don't you stay here in this empty house?
It's like, now what? Yeah, you don't want
to. I don't want to leave Chuan and that family. You know, she really
put you in a spot.
Put me in a spot. Yeah. And I said, no, thank you. Oh, and it didn't matter with her. It was all right, you know. But she says, well, tomorrow I'm going out to my farm. You want to come? Oh, sure. Okay.
Does she have family? Is she alone?
Yeah, she's alone. So the next day they pick me up, and we drive out to the country, and she's got workers there on this.
What, coconut farm?
I don't know what kind of farm. But she had to oversee something with her workers and make some decisions on work or something, you know. Impressing me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I still don't change my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with Chuan and Jintana. We get back. The party was nice, the birthday party, you know, food and talk. A lot of her friends were speaking English. But that's it. That was 2 days, that's it. I didn't want to spend any more time with them. So the next year, I return to Bangkok. And the same procedure, taking video and traveling with the motorcycle to speech.
Oh, Toastmasters.
Toastmasters. Because he's a businessman.
He's a businessman.
Right.
He wants to move up.
He wants to move up, you know. But it's a Thai language.
Right.
Toastmasters, you know. Meanwhile, people in the neighborhood, one particular house that had been upper-class people, they had walls there and a gate, and had heard that there was a teacher living there with Chuan, and they came and asked me to teach their children, you know, English, ESL. Oh, sure, send them over. There I would have 4 or 5 kids well, teenagers, sitting there, and I'm in bare-chested.
It's so hot.
It's so hot, the fan blowing on me.
The humidity, you know? Oh my God.
And I'm giving them ESL, you know. Then I'm not always dressed like that.
He usually wears clothes.
I dress up because one of my lessons is to take them for a walk and teach them how to say words.
Uh-huh.
See? And to exercise their muscles.
English language kind of skill. Muscle-wise.
Can you move just a little bit closer to the...
Oh, so the...
There we go.
So the family invite me to go on one Sunday to their summer home.
Uh-huh.
So we drive out to the country to their summer home. There's a bunch of kids out there playing soccer, I guess, yeah. And there's one girl there in the corner leaning on a fence, and she's got crutches.
Uh-huh.
Once in a while, she walks a little ways. They could see one foot is disfigured. Mm-hmm. So I asked the hostess, you know, what's wrong with that girl? Well, she's got polio. Yeah. I said, don't they have a doctor or medic in the villages? Yeah, there's a government medic in the village. Yeah, where is he? So they take me to him, and I ask him, why has she got polio? Because the polio vaccine had been available.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of the kids, you know, he says, well, the family was out of town when they vaccinated all the kids. Mm. Well, I had a
Polaroid
camera, so I went over to her, and I snapped her picture, zip, 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 zip,
mm-hmm.
and then I showed her the picture. Oh, she was so happy. She called all the kids over and looked at the picture, and I snapped pictures of the kids and gave them pictures, you know. She was a member of the crowd now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she had something that they didn't have.
Yeah. Okay, we go back to Bangkok, and some days later, Chuan and I are going down the street, and I spot a guy on a tricycle, on an adult tricycle, with some kind of hand
control or pedal thing. Oh, so he's doing it with his hands, not
his
feet.
Yeah, with his hands.
Because his legs don't work.
You know? Hey, wait a minute. Chuan, let's go over and talk to that guy. He talks to that guy, and it's a custom-made tricycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who made it? He gives him the name of this individual who makes these. Excuse me. Chuan gets in touch. We order one.
Speak this way, dear.
We order one.
Mm-hmm.
And had one made, and this summer home family, I asked them to take it out to the village and give it to this girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she can now...
So she can get around on her
own. Get around on her own now without having to walk to school on crutches, always behind everybody, mm-hmm. you know. Well... Couple of evenings or evening a week, Chuan goes to Toastmasters. Well, in Toastmasters, you have to get up and tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in the back there. Chuan's up there telling the story. And everybody turns around and they look at me. You know? And I learn later, he's telling them the story about the bicycle girl
uh-huh.
and me. You know? And then a woman gets up and starts in a tone of voice that was kind of reprimanding, you know. And what she was saying was, how come the government wasn't taking care of this girl?
Mm.
Why did somebody from America have to come here and take care of our citizens or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know what we started, but...
Yeah. I don't know how it ended or what what got going, but they're, you know, the connections of the business people, who knows where it got
right.
to.
Right, that's really interesting.
You know, yeah.
Right.
So it sounds like you've been there, too.
I was only there one time in 1990,
yeah.
and I met Chuan and
no one we'll come
stayed
to
at
that.
Their house.
I hadn't met her yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't meet her until 89.
So the third or fourth year, I decide I have to reciprocate these people's kindness. I'm going to bring them to Alaska. Wow. So, we get through the red tape, and I get them here to Jack Lake.
So, how did you, so you've moved around different parts in the state, how did you end up here?
Oh, I
didn't tell that story.
I used to take the Mentasta boys out here hunting.
Okay, so that goes back to when you were in Mentasta.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the caribou were thick out there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is an Alaska story, dear.
Oh.
So, tie it in. Yeah. Got the Thai people to come.
Yeah, they came here, and Chiwan looks out there across the lake. No people. No people. That's all he could say.
Yeah.
There's so much in awe. No people. Because they're so used to seeing people constantly.
Right.
24 hours a day.
They
can't comprehend this. No people.
Mm-hmm.
No houses. No. Oh, it's overwhelming. We can't appreciate the awesomeness of it. Amazing, you know. Well, anyway, he videotapes everything, the mountains, and I take him here. Mm-hmm. I take him there, and he's videotaping everything. And he goes back home. Goes back home, and he's showing people Alaska, and... they take it that he's a world traveler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all of a sudden now his status has gone up.
Okay.
And he's getting so much calls for business, in particular families who want their, wealthy families who want their vacations videotaped. Pretty soon we're getting postcards from Paris.
And Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Wow.
And they're standing in snow.
Gentina like, and Chiwan. They're traveling the world.
Yeah. In 3 years. In 3 years, everything changed.
Well, then he got it into his head. You know, he goes to these homes to videotape weddings, and they're so crowded, there's so many people there, they can't handle all these people.
Yeah.
And there's no place in Bangkok except the expensive hotels.
Uh-huh.
Where you have to pay $10,000 just for a banquet room or something, you know.
And he also watched the fact that at these ceremonies, on the ones that he has done, mm-hmm. at the Hilton or some of those other places, that they don't have a true Buddhist ceremony. So there's a niche that he's looking
right.
at.
Right.
So he rents a building,
uh-huh.
that first number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he decorates the Thai style with the images and the drapes and everything. And he starts, and he names it
Ruan Jiao Sao. It means bride's home.
Bride's home.
Mm-hmm.
So the bride can feel that she can invite her friends.
A lot of people,
Now they can handle more people.
Yeah.
You know, and he caters the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. or he brings somebody else in to do the food.
But he kind of has the facility.
Has a ceremony.
Yeah, now he has a building and he's more in control. They can have more people, more money.
He's the master of ceremonies. Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah. Well.
That goes very well.
He gets phone calls from, well, no, I haven't got, no. I better get another place.
So he gets another place.
And this is booming.
Yeah, and
he gets another place.
Yeah, this would probably be about the middle of the 90s, we're thinking, when this started.
Yeah.
We're not really sure because we really can't get real answers.
Uh-huh.
Even though the one kid's English, the youngest boy's English is very good. We never got into that.
Okay, he's got two places now. Pretty soon. Two places is not enough. He needs more room.
Yeah, bigger spaces. Yeah.
This is a bigger place.
Yeah, number three.
Number three. Go get number four.
Yeah.
Honest, this is a...
amazing story.
It's a really interesting story.
Amazing. Number three. This is, and all within the family.
Right.
You know. And he's very charitable. He's doing charitable work and getting food to poor people. And the Buddhist thing he's doing. Pretty soon, number three is not enough. He builds number four. She'll show you a picture of number four.
Okay. Wow.
So he built that one, and he's now probably finishing number five.
I know he's finishing number five. That's where I stayed. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because he's got some rooms there.
Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
From the motorcycle?
The cement building.
Yeah. It probably took a good 15 years
right.
to get to this point.
But still.
Yeah.
And still.
This is their second home.
Uh-huh.
Out in the country by some waterfall, and we don't know much about it yet. It's hard to get information. And this is an article that was in the Bangkok paper about him.
Oh, cool.
I don't have it. There must be a date in here somewhere.
That's really interesting.
But, yeah. And the really interesting thing is, so they came to visit in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And they came back again. And Jintana, the sister-in-law, and the youngest boy, Nu, who is 27, 28 at this point. English is really good. So they came here to visit, and they're Buddhists, and they can drink alcohol. It's just never to excess. You don't do any of this stuff
uh-huh.
to excess. So the kid, Nu, is drinking beer with me. I mean, I have like one beer every 2 weeks, you know. You know, we had a few beers. And they sat down, one of the last meals we had here, they said, they pulled out their Buddhist book, and they had it in English, and they said, they attribute their success to Rudy. And the Buddhists don't forget this stuff.
Uh-huh.
They make these connections.
Right.
And they attribute it all to him. Now, like we said in the beginning of the story, we don't know who used, and we don't want to use that word, these people are wonderful people. But look how everybody gained.
Right.
Everybody won in this
they
situation.
They got something.
Yeah. And then Jin says to Rudy, or me, we were cooking or something. We were in there cooking because she did a lot of cooking. It was fabulous stuff.
Oh, that would be nice.
Went to Nusagaya, somebody who knows what they're
right.
looking at, you know. That was the best part. And obviously, some more best parts than that. And she says, you know, we have money, but they're working like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff, these are five-hour ceremonies. Things have to be cleaned and organized, and they've got four buildings going now.
Mm-hmm.
They got the whole family's divided up. You know, Jin's got one. The wife's got one. The oldest son and his wife work in another one. And Nu and Chuan are in the last one. And I don't know what they did with number one. They might have got rid of number one. And then now number five, that means Nu or Chuan is going to have to move to number five. It's like, and they're working all the time and they have almost no time. Now the people who are Buddhists have heard about this place in Thailand, so they've got weddings for people from Australia
from
and
other parts
Germany
of the world.
And America, and it's like it's amazing. The guy's he's been on TV, he's been rubbing elbows with generals and presidents, and Whoa! It's a really amazing story.
Yeah.
And so Riddy went to visit last October.
Okay.
And
New and Jin and New's
girlfriend.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They flew to Taipei to escort me
to meet you
on the last leg. Yeah.
That's cool.
And he sent me a text with a picture in it, and I didn't go. And so I'm sitting there, and here comes the text, and it's like, and he shows me one of these pictures
right.
or something, and it's like, well, we meet Rudy in Taipei. And it's like, because Rudy, you know, he's a little elderly, and, you know, a 12-hour flight across the ocean, and then
right.
you got another 4 or 5 hours to go, and it's like, you know, if you've been on flights like that, it's not pleasant.
No, it's long.
And it's like, all of a sudden the girl, what's her name? The girlfriend. Here it is. She sits down in this Taipei, and, you know, it's probably the middle of the night or
right.
whatever it is
ploy,
at this
ploy.
Ploy. And she sits down and starts speaking in English to Rudy. And then she looks up, and there's New standing there and Jin standing there in the airport.
Uh-huh.
They got on the exact same plane. So they knew our itinerary.
Right.
Our itinerary. So they got on the exact same flight.
Yeah, escorted me, held my elbows like
elderly.
Yeah, like you trip over everything, you know.
Because elderly people are usually
well,
like
sometimes
that.
That is the case.
Yes, that is the case. Anyhow, so.
That's a fabulous story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
So just to go back to how you ended up at Jack Lake. So you came out hunting here when you were teaching in Mentasta. You hunted out the Nabesna Road.
Well, in my first years up here, summertime,
uh-huh.
I worked in Jackson Hole.
Okay.
At a boys' ranch.
Uh-huh. So you would go back to Jackson Hole for the summer.
For the summer, right.
Where are you going with this?
How I got the property.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's my question.
Mm-hmm.
I had neglected all those years to get the Homestead Act property.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought it was going to run forever. You know. But then the challenge came. Get your land. By 1970, 71, they're going to rescind the act, the law.
Mm-hmm.
No more homestead land available.
Mm-hmm.
And BLM people warned us, get your land, get your land. Okay. Well, see, I couldn't homestead or homesite because I was teaching.
Right.
I'll trade manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll run a business.
Okay.
What kind of business can I run? A boys' camp.
Uh-huh.
So I built a cabin, called it Arctic Bound.
What was it?
Arctic Bound.
Arctic Bound.
Organized it the way the camp in Jackson Hole was organized.
Mm-hmm.
Did all the paperwork, did all the,
yeah, the banking,
necessary.
The advertising.
Right.
And only 30 years later did I find out, as a veteran, I didn't have to do it.
Oh, really?
That you could, there would have been another way.
You could have gotten it at any time.
Yeah.
But who knows if somebody else would have got this spot.
It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. I did all the work. Mm-hmm. I got the patent.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a national park.
Mm-hmm. And we like to say, Rudy likes to say, we have 5 acres to build on and $14 million to play in.
So then when you retired, then this became your base when you weren't off adventuring?
Oh, yes. And then one year, I was on the road and this car came by throwing dust And I had to get in front of it. And fortunately, the car in front of me was thoughtful enough to realize, you know.
They were creating the dust. So they stopped,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It was her.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I wasn't going fast. The road was a nightmare.
And what were you up here doing?
I was on vacation.
Okay.
Where else? What else would I be doing on this road?
Right.
Of course, when I'd been at Copper Center in that 1989, after a few things, looking at some maps and whatever uh-huh. they had there, it was the old building, of course.
Right, the old Park Service.
Yeah, and they said, well, everybody goes to McCarthy. So I went the other way.
Okay.
Still haven't been to McCarthy. And I wasn't going fast. I was in a rent-a-wreck when they still had a company like that.
Oh, right, I remember.
And the road was just, the rocks were, God, they were as big as your camera.
Uh-huh.
So what did I accomplish?
You've had a really interesting life. And you've probably made a difference in other people's mm-hmm. lives. That's mm-hmm. what teachers end up doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just saw a guy at Toke last year at the uh-huh. grocery store. We're walking in, and he's walking out, or the other way around, doesn't matter. Mr. Gray! It was some student from Mentasta, right? Or Dot Lake. Lake.
Lake.
You're still alive? Just came right out of his mouth.
Yeah, he was a Charles. Branford child, Charles.
Uh-huh. So, it was in the 70s then that you got the property here? Mm-hmm.
71. Didn't get the patent until 76 or something.
Okay.
You know, it takes time.
Right.
Paperwork.
Mm-hmm. And by then, had you added on? Or was it still the cabin only?
Well, my visitors from Anchorage needed a place to...
Woody Long, the trooper.
Okay.
And the family became best friends still.
So I built
that other building over there by the staircase.
Oh, okay.
Little small building.
Then kids grew up, needed a little more room. I built a sunroom.
Yeah. On the east side.
Well, more food, and needed a bigger kitchen.
Needed a kitchen, yeah.
So I built the kitchen. Well, I needed more room to sit down and eat.
Yeah.
Built the dining room. Oh, well, make it two stories, she says. By that time I met her.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we did a two story.
And do you live here year round?
Mm-mm. No, her cold weather asthma is.
Oh, uh-huh. Prevents. So you go outside in the winter.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's an intrinsic kind of asthma, an exercise induced.
Uh-huh.
And just cold air. I gotta sit back or prepare with inhalers and everything. And jeez, it's supposed to be going away, but it's not going away. No, it's hard. And it's hard up here. Imagine there's no water.
Right.
You have to have snow machines.
Yes.
This hill. Oh man, we were here. We've been here.
You've spent some winters here.
Not the whole winters, but I've been here every month but February.
Okay.
And I don't mind the dark. I don't mind the cold. But it's
that
just
cold
hard
air.
To do anything. You don't have water.
Yeah.
You don't have water.
Right.
And you just have to figure out a way to haul the water, to store it. You can't leave. Man, some people can do that. And that was before solar panels and things like that.
Right,
that might make your life a little easier. But it's just...
So that was my last adventure. Jeannie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'd love to try to stay, but that means more firewood. Oh, man.
No, it's more complicated. Mm-hmm. Everything's more complicated mm-hmm. in the winter.
Oh, I've had enough winters.
So you met in 89?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in June.
So you've been together since then?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we got married in 91. Yep, come up here in May. or earlier.
Uh-huh.
And try to hold out till October. But we have a trailer that is ransacked by the bear, so it's in Palmer getting fixed.
Okay.
Twice it was ransacked by the bear.
And did you hear that somebody shot a bear?
Yes.
A big brown bear.
I'm waiting for the protection officer to show us a picture, because I got a good look at that bear.
Uh-huh.
When he broke that window.
To come through the window at you.
Yes. And we've seen him here before.
Uh-huh.
We've seen a very blonde bear here. I saw him years ago on that hillside, about this time of year,
mm-hmm.
or a little bit later, I think, because it was the angle of the sun, and this guy looked like a polar bear out there.
Interesting.
He was so light and playing with the trees and rolling down the hill. He looked so cute. And he'd walk around here and keep going. You know, you don't pay any attention
to him. It's okay if they keep going.
Yeah, because they might walk down here on the trail.
Uh-huh.
But they don't care. We just stand there.
Yeah, one came up to the deck once, too.
Yeah, we had one walking on the deck, but...
It just kept going.
Dawn or something.
Right.
Yeah. They just keep going. They don't know this from a rock.
So you've seen a lot of changes in your time here?
Oh, yes. It was wilder.
Uh-huh.
You know. Now, you're excited when you see a rabbit.
Well, we haven't seen rabbits for a long, long time until this year.
I have one in my yard.
Yeah. We had them here on the trail. Yeah.
This year.
Seemed to be when those boom and bust years got farther apart, from our vantage point.
Right. And you haven't been to McCarthy.
No, I still haven't been to McCarthy. I hear the road's better.
Yeah. I drove out to the Cuscalona Bridge a couple weeks ago, and it's about mile 17, and it's actually chip sealed out to there. Mm-hmm. Once you get up out of you got to get up sort of off out of the river bottom, the river channel.
So when I was there, the only people in McCarthy were the Green brothers.
Uh-huh.
That's all. Just two bachelor brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Their name were Green. Forget their first name.
Loy was one
Loy,
of them.
Yeah, right.
And I can't remember the name of the other one.
Now, God.
Well, I only saw part of that TV show once.
Edge of Alaska.
And the only way to get across was the cable.
Right.
Because they'd built a trestle bridge for the railroad, but they were anticipating that the river would take it out, and it would take it out every spring.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to build a new one.
Now, but you could fly to the other side, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a strip there, and they enlarged the strip because Muddle Smith wanted to bring a tourist in there to ransack Kennecott.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard something about a ledger.
I have it, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. From the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
So you found that when you were...
When I was helping these people.
Yeah.
Way back then when he was teaching in Chitna.
There was no restriction on going there.
Yeah, we salvaged it. It's in Washington.
Uh-huh.
We show it to people. We show it to doctors. We took it to our doctor.
Uh-huh.
And showed it to him, and he showed it to the other doctors.
Yeah, one of my colleagues expressed an interest in
scanning it. If the park wants it and puts it in a place, I mean, they can have it.
If you wanted to donate it to the park, we would take care of it. We can't accept donations with restrictions on them, but, I mean, we would obviously be responsible for taking care of it.
Yeah, I mean, we'd rather not really have it. I mean, we don't get to show it to that many people,
uh-huh.
And we pretty much showed it to everybody who's interested in it.
We would definitely be interested in a donation.
I don't know how Rudy feels about it, but I'd really rather you guys have it. You know, we have really no right to it, and if you can keep it and show it to people... that's fine. That's great.
Yeah, depending on the condition, what we might end up doing is scanning it and having a copy of it so that people could see it and keeping the actual document
in pretty good shape. You know, Rudy's kept it in the box and wrapped it in tissue paper. And,
diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
treatment.
We brought it in a few years ago
uh-huh.
and showed it. That's how you knew about it. You know, it's like that. good size. It's a regular ledger book, probably for right. bookkeeping or something.
So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know there's we would be interested.
Good, yeah, because when we brought it in, it didn't seem like they were. And this was probably, the new building was there. This may have been all of 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. Uh-huh. Or whenever. It seemed like, you know, we were sort of like waiting for them to say, can we have this?
Right.
And nobody did. So it's like, well, so we took it home.
Well,
so, yeah.
There's definitely an interest.
Yeah, good, good.
And we have a new person, a new curator, mm-hmm. museum specialist.
There you go.
So.
And I think this was probably right when Kennicott was purchased. Nobody was ready for anything
Right,
yet.
And I think that things have changed and mm-hmm. That now we would be ready. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Well, before I turn off the recorder, is there any other stories that are particularly memorable that you think would be good to get on tape?
Oh, not to be public, no.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to turn the recorder off. I really appreciated the time you spent with me today.